Welcome to the audio version of Obesity Panacea. On this episode, we have part three of Dr. Angelo Tremblay's lecture on the prevention of obesity. On this part of the lecture, he focuses on the nutrition-related work that he's been involved with recently. So he talks about his involvement in the creation of a healthy school lunchbox program and how they strove to find a lunch that was both palatable to the kids as well as filling. And he also talks about the role that our demonization of obesity may actually be having in promoting unhealthy food-related behaviors, which may actually be having a counteractive or counterproductive impact when it comes to the prevention of obesity. So I should warn people that Dr. Tremblay does not provide the panacea to obesity or the ideal diet, and really just focuses on his recent experiences with nutrition-related research. So this one is really more of interest to the researchers than individuals who are looking for the best diet-related advice. But as always, it's still very interesting. And as always, if you'd like to see the slides that go along with this presentation, visit our blog at blogs.plos.org/obesitypanacea, or just Google Obesity Panacea and you'll find us there, and you can see all the slides that go along with this. So enjoy the podcast, and thanks for listening.
So I continue by investing in nutritional competence and healthy food availability. This was not our initiative. We were solicited by an elementary school in the old Quebec City area, and the school had no kitchen facilities. And then the request that was presented to my research team was to design a cold meal that could be acceptable for kids. So that was the basis of thinking pertaining to the school environment, where we believe children should get knowledges and skills for optimal living, including healthy eating. So designed the Lunchbox project, a study performed in a low-income elementary school, as I told you, to develop a healthy food offer. So again, a brief description of what we did. The design of lunch boxes being entirely cold, containing a good sandwich like these ones, a side dish, a dessert, and an adequate beverage contain something respecting the Canadian Food Guide, and having these healthy nutritional profiles. So we prepared seven healthy menus, one mixed menus containing some traditional less healthy constituents and some healthy foods, and one controlled food including bologna, white bread, etc., that would have been, I believe, representative of the lunchbox that children usually had. The list of our variables in this case, so with respect to the palatability, the champion was the control one. The second best was the mixed one. The third one of ours, and you see that on a visual analog scale, their rating of some lunch boxes was borderline. So, and those would have been disqualified ultimately if we would have had to bring this food on the industrial platform. So, one thing, however, which is important, is that this one and this one is the same. Because we had the preoccupations of the experimentalists. It was a sandwich with beef, relatively well appreciated. This is the rating of the first week and the rating of the second week. So this was not a perfect reliability, but ultimately it was an encouraging reproducibility nevertheless, because we were deducing of this imperfect reliability the message by which we were believing that over time there is a sort of habituation that contributes to over time an increase in the palatability of what should have been less appreciated at the beginning. The desire to eat again, no surprise to see that also. Caloric intake, because they had the possibility to eat ad libitum, you will not be surprised to see that caloric consumption was greater under less healthy food design. And also, when we look at the satiety quotient of satiety quotient for hunger being measured by measuring the energy intake on one hand, and on the other hand, appetite, hunger, appetite sensations on by using a visual analog scale. So the ratio in millimeters per calories is providing an index of efficiency of the satiation provided by the meal. So you see that the satiety quotient was more pronounced, without any surprise, for healthy lunch boxes compared to the control and the mix, and the mix one. So, of course, when it is relevant to promote healthy eating at school by using any approach, of course, it is, I believe, a good investment. By promoting healthy food behaviors, I am not a specialist on this issue. Some of my colleagues investigated this issue, particularly my colleague Vicky Drapeau, who used the data of the Quebec Family Study to demonstrate that if an individual is characterized by a high restriction level, the risk to gain weight over time is much more pronounced compared to when the restriction level is low. Fitting with the initial slide that I showed you from the Chaput paper and positioning these behavioral factors on the top of the list of determinants of the risk of overweight in the Quebec Family Study. More recently, Vicky Drapeau, with her PhD, her master's student at that time, Émilie Pérusse-Lachance, evaluated a cohort of Laval University students and staff members, more than 3,000 individuals, and their paper reported interesting observations, but for me the most intriguing, the most disappointing observations is what we see here. In people having a dieting story, 62% are normal weight females. Past dieting story, 2/3 of the cohort are normal weight students or staff members. And when we are talking about feeding behaviors, their deviations documented with the three-factor eating questionnaires, the proportion of normal weight in the group of individuals having a deviation is still greater. It is well representative of the obsession of leanness that is everywhere in our community. Certainly that it should be part of a preventive approach. And I believe that ourselves, as health professionals, we have to question about the possibility that we might be part of the problem. When you talk about obesity, obesity is a problem, obesity is increasing, obesity is an epidemic, obesity is a catastrophe. And you talk about, in French, at springtime, we have des épouvantails à moineaux. I am not able to translate that in English. This is the type of, Eric, help me.
Scarecrows.
So we have that, and to some extent, occasionally I told myself, is it possible that I might be a little bit like that? So being like that without providing so adequate solutions in terms of performance, I believe that the question is also for us.
That was Dr. Angelo Tremblay of Laval University in Quebec City. And now next week we will have the conclusion of his lecture on the prevention of obesity, and he'll be focusing on preventive pharmacology, which it looks at some interesting ways that we could prevent or treat obesity, not looking at traditional drugs used to treat obesity, but looking at different non-traditional drugs, such as Ritalin, which is currently given to kids for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and looking at the impact of this on food intake and body weight. So it's a very interesting conclusion. So we hope that you'll come back next week for that. A reminder that you can find us in iTunes. Just search for Obesity Panacea. You can also see the slides that accompany all of these podcasts at blogs.plos.org/obesitypanacea. And if you do subscribe to us in iTunes, we would absolutely love it if you'd be willing to give us a rating there. So thanks again for listening. Feel free to visit the blog to leave a comment, and we'll see you next week.